Turn with me tonight to Psalm chapter 117. And I just want to say again how much of an honor and a privilege it is to be here with you tonight. And had intended on preaching something different than this, but today in prayer just felt the Lord direct me in this way. And so I'm just going to share something simple with you. Nothing profound, nothing that's going to blow your mind or show you a new revelation into the Scriptures. But I just want to share what's on my heart and believe God to meet us around these altars and to challenge us and encourage us tonight. Psalms chapter 117, the first two verses we're going to read. The Bible says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Hallelujah. For just a few minutes tonight, I want to preach to you on why worship. And I'm just going to pray the Lord would bless this sermon tonight. Lord, I thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for Your Spirit that we've already felt tonight. Dear God, I'm believing You to meet us around these altars. I'm believing You, Lord, to anoint me, Jesus. If You don't, then Lord, we're all wasting our time. I ask that You'd meet us tonight. Accomplish Your will, Lord. We love You. We thank You so much for all You've done for us. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about why worship. And, you know, how many of you have ever, and hopefully we can all answer yes to this, but you've done something. I mean, that's a pretty vague question, so I mean, I'm sure some you can think of something that you've done in your life. One of the greatest rewards there is for a job well done, well, the greatest reward is pay, obviously, because, you know, who doesn't like to get some money? But other than that, there's always the satisfaction of knowing you did a good job. You know, that's nice. In theory, that's a good, you know, that's good compensation. But really what we all like, and there's not a person in here that could deny that they don't like it, is that we like to receive a compliment, right? You like for someone to tell you, you did a good job. You clean your room. Young people, you like for your parents to say, your room looks good. You go out and you mow the lawn, it looks good. You go out and you do that, that's good. We like to receive compliments. We all enjoy that. There's something about it that it builds our morale. It makes us feel better about ourselves when someone else notices something we've done. And see, you and I were created in the image of God. Scripture lets us know that. And so while God's ways are higher than our ways, there are aspects of our attributes that give us a glimpse into the way that God is. So the fact that you and I like to be recognized or like for someone else to notice the good things that we've done lets me know that God enjoys that too. See, that's what worship is. It's you and I acknowledging to God what a great thing He has done. When we worship Him for creation, it's because He did such a magnificent job. We worship Him for salvation because no one else could save us. That's all worship is. At its bare necessity, it's just us recognizing God for the good things that He's done. So why should we worship Him? What are some reasons that you and I should worship Him? I believe that in this psalm we're given a few different reasons. And number one, we should worship Him because of His enduring love. The Bible says, praise Him for His merciful kindness. That phrase, merciful kindness, can be translated because of His enduring love. And if there was nothing else good about God, His enduring love is enough for you and I to praise Him. Because His enduring love, what that means is that even, I mean, God extended salvation to all of us on the cross, and that was a beautiful thing. But a lot of times we think of that He offers us salvation as these, you know, when we get saved when we're young, we're innocent, and we really, you know, we have this one shot at it. But that enduring love, that means even after I've accepted salvation, even after that I've prayed through and He's forgiven me and He's cleansed me and He's delivered me and He's set me free from bondage, and I willfully step back into it, that enduring love never stops loving me. He may not be able to condone what I'm doing, and I may separate myself from Him, but His love remains the same. No matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going through your mind or what's going on in your life, His love for you is just as much as it's ever been. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to drugs, doesn't matter if you're involved in sexual immorality, no matter what it is, God still loves you just as if you were still an innocent child, because His love endures forever. Hallelujah. Why should we praise Him? Because He is a God of enduring love. He never gives up on you and I. You know, that there's the saying, as long as there's breath, there's hope. And I've seen some people, and you and I, You know, we're not God because we look at some situations and we say, that is, they're done. They're gone. They're beyond any help. But God never says that. God never gives up on one of his children. We see a love like this in the story of David, in his son Absalom's life. You see that David was a great king. He really was. He was one of the greatest kings ever. He ran one of, when David was king, Israel was one of the greatest military forces in the world. He had a great kingdom. There was prosperity. There was unity in the kingdom. It was a good time under the reign of David. And he was one of the best kings that ever was, one of the greatest leaders to ever live. Had a great resume. Had a great plan for the nation. But Absalom thought he could do a better job. Absalom thought that he would be a better leader than the best leader. That he would have better plans than the best planner. Does that sound familiar? Because that's really the way most of us live our lives. Because the Bible says that God knows the plans that he has for us. Plans to prosper us, not to harm us. Good, not evil, to bring us to an expected end. Yet so many times we say, God, I know that this is your plan. And that's, you know, it's a good plan. I understand it's good. But really, I think my plan would probably work out a little bit better. In this area right here, I know you're all knowing, and I know that you see the end from the beginning. I understand all that, but Lord, you just don't see where I'm at right now. And so I know you're calling me here, but really, I think that it would work out better if I could take this step. Can we all just be honest and say that we do that? Am I the only one? Am I the only one that has heard God speak to me and God has shown me where I needed to be and shown me what I needed to do? And I've said, all right, God, yeah, I agree. And I'll do that eventually. But for right now, we do that, don't we? Yet his love still endures. Absalom wanted to be the king. He wanted to overthrow his father's kingdom. Wanted to be the man in charge. And so Absalom did some terrible things to David. Absalom betrayed him. Absalom made a mockery of him. Absalom tried to humiliate him. Everything that he could do, tried to kill him. Whatever he could do to lessen his father's influence, whatever he could do to defraud his father's name, whatever he could do to try to tear down the kingdom of David, Absalom did. And David had every reason to hate Absalom. Had every reason to want to kill Absalom. Every reason to want to end Absalom's pursuit of the kingdom. But the Bible says there came a day when one of David's servants came to him. And David asked him about Absalom. And his servant told him that Absalom was dead. And look what David's response was. He didn't rejoice. He didn't shout. He wasn't excited about a victory. I don't have to worry about that anymore. But in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 32, the Bible says, "And the king said unto Cushi, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushi answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, touched his heart, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went thus and said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee." Despite all the mistakes that Absalom had made, despite all the times that Absalom spat in the face of David, he still said, I wish it could have been me. I wish that I could take his place. And you know what? God looked down throughout eternity. And he saw you. He saw every time that you were going to make a mistake. He saw every time that I would blaspheme his name. He saw every time that I would push away his merciful hand outstretched. Saw every single time that I would step back in to the sin that he delivered me from. And he still said, I'd rather it be me. I'd rather I bore the consequences of his sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God." Why should we praise him? Because of his enduring love. I'm so thankful tonight that his love is extended to you and I, no matter where we are or what we've done. He took my place. Hallelujah. Not only for his enduring love, but secondly tonight, for his enduring truth. And how many of you know that in life, there is this pesky little thing called change? I hate change. I really do. I am not a fan of it, but it is a part of life. And every single one of us have seen change. There was a time, I even remember in my young life, I'm only 23 years old, but there was a time that you could buy a gallon of gas for 98 cents. Can't do that no more. 98 cents doesn't really accomplish hardly anything in our world today because things change. There was a time whenever morals were a part of everyday life. And things aren't that way. There was a time when morals were you know, encouraged. And now it seems to be the exact opposite. Things change in life, and it's a part of life that we have to get used to. I worked in banking for about a year when we lived in Missouri. And let me just side note here and just tell you, be nice to tellers. They are underpaid, and they really have a hard job, and when people are mean to them, it just makes the job that much worse. So just let me be a representative for tellers everywhere and just tell you to be nice to your tellers, because they would really appreciate it. So anyways, now back to our message after the word from our sponsors. But in banking, things change almost, it could be on a daily basis, and it's really challenging because you have the regulations that you have to know, and it's okay to do this and to tell people this about their account without verification, and that could change by the next week. And it's so confusing, it's so challenging because you're almost scared to say anything to anybody because you don't know if you're breaking a federal regulation because it changes so much. And change is a very annoying and a very scary thing. But one of the reasons that we can worship our Savior is not only for His enduring love, but His enduring truth, because He has never, nor will He ever change. What was true about God in the beginning of time is true about God today. What was true about God for Abraham is true about God today. What was true about God for my grandpa is true about God today, because His truth is enduring. It never changes. His promises are the same. His precepts are the same. His word shall endure forever. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, I'm probably going to get myself in deep trouble here, but it's a good illustration. My wife, as I said, is expecting. And she gets a little moody sometimes. There are times that all of a sudden, you know, everything's going good, and she's laughing, and we're having a great time, and then all of a sudden, whoa, what'd I do? What happened? Because the mood is completely different. It's not smiles. It's not giggles. It's let's be quiet, because we're not going to talk right now. And, you know, if that was the way God was, if he was moody, how hard would that make our Christian walk? You know, if one moment we were feeling His blessings, oh, thank you, Lord, and then all of a sudden, He turned it off, and He was mad, and he was done with us, and He remembered what we were going to do next week because He's all-knowing, and so He got mad. He's not like that. His truth endures forever. I'm so thankful tonight that He is an unchanging God. I can place my trust in Him because I know that He won't change. I'm so thankful for that tonight. And you know, there's a religious culture today that is so very different from what God intended it to be. It's almost as if most of our modern church world has bought into doctrinal evolution. As our society has changed, so has our doctrine. And as our culture has changed, our preaching has changed. And what we believe about the Word of God has changed. And what it used to mean in this scripture, now it no longer means that, because that doesn't really fit into our culture. But can I tell you that His truth endures forever? What was true in the early church is true for you and I. What was wrong in generations past is wrong for you and I. And don't worry, I'm not going to be that 23-year-old guy that gets up here and goes down the clothesline and names every. I don't need to. The Lord will deal with you. The Lord deals with us individually. He shows us the areas of our life that we have pulled away from what is biblically sound, that we've separated ourselves from what He has called us to do. And so if we would really just get back to the principles and the precepts of His Word and accept them as absolute truth and accept them as uncompromising truth and live according to the words that are within that book, if we would do that, I believe that we could see revival like we've never seen it before. I believe that His Word is literally when it says that in the last days He wants to pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. But I believe that He's waiting for some vessels that are willing to cleanse themselves and are willing to consecrate themselves and are willing to live according to His Word so that He can pour out His Spirit in these last days, hallelujah, His truth endures forever. Hallelujah. There are some that today would even say that, I was reading one scholar that said that really the blood, I don't know why Christians make such a big deal about it. He said, you may as well speak of the wool of the lamb as the blood of the lamb. Blood's too gory. It's too offensive. It turns too many people off. But my Bible says that I can come before the throne of God boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow. That makes me white as snow. There's no other fount I know. There is nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight that the truth and the power, I love that song that says, it reaches to the highest mountains, flows to the lowest valley. It's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Many times we preach that His truth is enduring, and in our more conservative circles, we always focus on the rules that are in the Bible. But can I tell you, if the rules endure forever, and if the principles and the precepts endure forever, then so do the promises. And if it's true that I have to live according to the Bible because the Bible calls me to live that way, then it's also true that the God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills will never leave me or forsake. It's also true when the Bible says that He's never seen the righteous forsaken or His seed begging for bread. That's also true. We have to understand that this Christian life isn't just about do's and don'ts, but it's about the promises that God has extended to His chosen people if we'll live according to His Word. Hallelujah. His enduring love, His enduring truth. And lastly tonight, why should we worship Him? Because of His enduring purpose. Because He has a plan for each and every one of us. Many of us don't know exactly what that plan is. If we were honest, we would say, you know, I don't know specifically what God has called me to. When we were at a church, we were youth pastors, and I gave a survey to the young people there. It was our first week there, and I kind of just wanted to get to know them, what their likes and that kind of stuff was. And so I gave a survey, and I asked them, do you feel that God has called you into you know, any form of ministry, or do you feel that you have a specific calling? And out of about 30 kids that were there, only two of them said that they felt like they had a specific calling, they knew what that calling was. So that's roughly 6.5% that knew what God's plan was for their life. And it's not just young people, but it's an epidemic in our day and age. There is so much uncertainty. Nobody knows why they're here. Nobody knows why they're saved. Nobody knows why they go to church. They don't know what their purpose is. And so when I did that, I began praying, God, why is it? Why is it that this generation seems to be so uncertain? Why is it that they can't seem to find their reason for living, the reason that you put them on this earth? And I felt like God spoke to me, and that's what this point here came from. And just to try to make it as clear as I can, I'll give you the example of a mirror. All right, now mirrors can be used for several different reasons. I mean, you can probably think of more than I can, but I know for sure in my limited knowledge of the mirror world, I'm not a mirror expert, but I know that you can use mirrors for cosmetic purposes, obviously. That's why they're in our restrooms, so we can get ready in the morning and do the best we can to look acceptable. It's harder for some of us than others, but we go in there, and that's what a mirror is used for. Also, they can be used for decoration. I've seen people put them in their living rooms or their, you know, whatever. You put them up for decorations, put some greenery around them. They're used in cameras for the lenses. The reflection is what makes the film work, and they also are used, they can be used as even a defense mechanism, because how many of you have ever been riding down the road and had something reflective, and you just thought it was really fun to flash that in whoever's driving I was, and it's really annoying. My wife does it to me all the time with my phone. But you can use it as a defense mechanism to try to blind your enemy. There's so many different uses for mirrors, and they have different specific purposes. But every mirror, no matter why you're using it, no matter what its specific purpose is, they all have one general purpose in common, and that is that they are reflective. If a mirror is not reflective, it can't be used for a specific purpose. It has to meet the prerequisite of that general purpose of being reflective. And when I begin to pray and say, God, why is it that young people, that even some of our older people can't find their niche or their specific purpose? And I really feel like God spoke to me and said it's because they've gotten away and they haven't fulfilled their general purpose. See, before God will ever call us into any specific avenue, He wants us to be worshipers. We were created for the sole purpose of giving glory to God. That is the reason that you and I walk the earth. And you know what? If I were to have never preached a message and I were to have never worked in any avenue of ministry, but I lived a life of worship, that would be a successful life in the kingdom of God. God is not looking so much for the next great preacher or for the next great singer or for the next great pastor. God's looking for someone that would say, God, I don't even care if you give me any kind of a position. I don't care if you promote me in the kingdom. I don't care if you make me something great. I am here for the sole purpose of worshiping your name because you are worthy. God is looking in this generation to find some people that would be true worshipers, that would be true praisers of His name, that would lift Him up because He is worthy of glory and honor and praise. See, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to preach anymore. We may sing some, but that's not going to be our ministry. But when we get to heaven, we're all going to worship. The Bible says that the 24 elders, they sat around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Our entire lifestyle, our entire purpose for living, our entire eternity is going to be an entirety of worship. I want to be well practiced. I don't want to have to change my lifestyle when I get to heaven so I can fit in. I want to be someone that is a person and is a character of worship. Why worship? Because of His enduring love. Because of His enduring truth, and because of His enduring purpose. Hallelujah.